Thank the Lord for his wonderful blessings in the meeting thus far. It's been a wonderful time in the service with all the dear saints and everyone that's here. I'm so glad we got to come. We were a little late getting here because we had some responsibilities at home. Our dear brother John Sisk, one of the oldest members in our congregation, passed away, and we had his funeral Monday. So we didn't get to get away until Monday evening, about 5 o'clock. And we got here about 9:30, and so happy to be here. Amen. We've enjoyed the services and messages and the singing. Oh, I tell you, I've just been lifted up in the singing of the saints of these wonderful songs. So I'm just happy to be here. And the Lord has blessed my soul so richly, personally, and in the meeting too. Now, I want to tell you what I've got on my heart. A thought, a very important thought. And yet, it is the one that can be easily transgressed and neglected. And that is waiting on the Lord. This is something that every child of God needs to learn and learn right away. The attitude and disposition of patience and waiting on the Lord to work out your burdens, to undertake for your problems. I would say, and I cannot say accurately everything, but I would say that God does not answer very many prayers just right now. He does. But there's many of them that he doesn't answer right now. You have to know how to wait and be patient and wait on the Lord. A few scriptures that I'd like to make notice of. One is Psalm 27 and 13 and 14. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You don't want to faint. You don't want to give up. Just because you don't see things work out like you'd like to, for the Lord to work them out. You've got to be patient and wait. Wait on the Lord, verse 14. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, that's talking to us. That's talking to the child of God. Even when you come to the Lord to be saved, you've got to have a determination and a persuasion and a disposition in your heart that you want the Lord to save you, and you're not going to give up because you don't get it right now. You have to keep seeking and praying. Wait on the Lord. Psalm 34. This Psalm 34 is a wonderful psalm. Have you ever read it? It's a good one. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Now you see, there's some real encouraging thoughts there. But now let's go to Psalm 37. Read a little bit there. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy light, thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Now watch this one. And wait patiently for him. He may not work in 1 hour. He may not work in 1 day. But you've got to have some faith and patience. Rest in the Lord. Commit it. Well, I prayed and I want to commit it to the Lord. I'm going to pray some more, but I'm committing it to the Lord. I know the Lord heard me and I know the Lord cares for me. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself in any wise to do evil. Don't fret yourself. Don't get all worked up. You're going to do something about this. Wait on the Lord. Have faith. Have patience. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. You know, you got to watch that. You get upset and angry and displeased about something, and you've got a temptation, you're going to do something about it. You don't do that. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Or inherit the land, inherit the blessings that God has. The evildoers will be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, the wicked shall not be. Thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it'll not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth. I want to tell you, that word meek is a wonderful, important word. What did Jesus say about the meek? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now see, that's where this comes from, the Old Testament. The meek shall inherit the earth, inherit the land, inherit the blessings of God. The meek man is a man that will wait and will not press himself and push things. That's meekness. Oh, thank the Lord. Seems like there's some more in this chapter. Let me see here. This 37th Psalm is a wonderful psalm. It is a wonderful psalm. All right, verse 22. Such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth. They that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed making bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. Anyway, well, that's good. Well, here's 34, verse 34. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I believe this is a psalm of David. When you look at David's life, you see a man that had to wait on God. God sent Samuel, the prophet, down to David's household to anoint one of his sons to be king. Saul, the king, had proven himself unfit and unqualified to be king. And so the Lord sent Samuel down, and Samuel came to David's household and told the man or the father what he wanted. And so he called his sons. I think he had, six or seven sons. He called them all, and no, none of them. And there was one, though, that he hadn't called yet. He was out taking care of the sheep. And so Samuel says, is there any more sons? Do you have any more? Well, yeah, we got one, but he's taking care of the sheep. Well, bring him in. And when he came in, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to Samuel and said, arise, anoint him. This is the one. And so he anointed David, and David didn't take the kingship right now. He went on back out to the sheep. So maybe, I don't know, you know, a person's mind works in strange ways. And we are human beings, and I have a feeling like that David probably wondered what was Samuel doing, anointing him and all, but yet he had to go back out and take care of his sheep. And you know, sometimes the Lord will inspire you with something, but it doesn't work out right now. You got to go back to your dishes or to your household or to whatever you're doing. You had to go back and wait on the Lord and look to him. There's another set of scriptures in Lamentations of Jeremiah I want to notice. I'm not going to be able to get all the scriptures there are on this subject, but these are the ones that the Lord's inspired me with. Lamentations chapter 3. This is a wonderful chapter to me. Have you studied it? Lamentations chapter 3. The first part of it is not very nice. It's just pretty bad. It's just the terrible things that God has allowed Jeremiah to suffer at all. And he just, verse 19 says, verse 18 said, and I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. It just looks like everything was lost. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, that's the bitter things, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. Yes, I remember. I know I've had a hard time. I know it's been rough. But I've got hope. Now listen, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You ever sing that song, Great is Thy Faithfulness? It's a wonderful song. Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no power. There's no power that can turn me from Thee. Oh, dear ones, we just need to remember God's faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. See, after all this bitter stuff that he talked about, now he's got side, he's got the angle of the goodness of God, and he's looking toward that. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him. Wait a minute, hold on. Yeah, but it's not going to work out. It's everything's pointing the other way. No, you don't look at it like that. The Lord will work it out. The Lord heard my prayer. Well, why don't he do something about it? Now, don't you ever talk like that. No, don't you ever say anything like that. That's not good. That shows that you're not honoring God like you should. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good. Now listen to this one. Mark it down in your Bible. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It's good that you be quiet and patient and wait and have faith and endure the hard places, the difficult places. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. Putteth his mouth in the dust, if so be there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He's filled full with reproach. Who is that? Who in the Bible gave his cheek to them that smite him? Our blessed Savior did. Look what he had to suffer and go through. Oh, what he had to endure. All right, now I want to, I can't seem to get a scripture that I was, but anyway, that's enough. That's enough, what I've read. Now, waiting on the Lord. That's something we've got to learn to do. You want the blessings of the Lord, and you have a need, and you have conviction in your heart that God will answer your prayer, and he wants you to come to him. All right? Every one of us, every child of God, every person that has any success in the Christian life, you have to have a prayerful attitude. You have to exercise yourselves in prayer. If you don't, you will never make it. You must be a prayer warrior. I was taught that when I was a little boy, when I was growing up, from the saints and from my own mother. You have to have patience and wait on God. He doesn't work right now. He doesn't work in a hurry. He's going to let things go for a while. David, just think. David, he was just a young boy whenever God anointed him. He was 30 years old before he became the king. And in the meantime, he had to run off from home and leave home as just a young man and stay out in the wilderness because Saul was after him. King Saul was jealous of David, and he was after him. And David had to wait and put up and bear and suffer all these many things. You ought to read some of the Psalms of David. They're sure not very pleasant. That man went through some hard places. And then finally, after things had worked out, he was allowed to be brought in and crowned as the king of Israel. So, you know, it's just somehow in your Christian life. And I've got a few things I want to tell you about. But you've got to learn how to wait on the Lord and keep your courage up and have faith and patience. You got to do that. That's part of living a Christian life, is patience. Have patience and faith to inherit the promises. So I want to make mention of some things. There's another case in the Bible about a young man that had a bunch of brothers. He had several older brothers, and they were all jealous of him. And he would have dreams and tell about what he had dreamed, and he dreamed one night that sun and moon and 11 stars bowed down to him, and all these things. And they just went, "Why, you think we're going to bow down to you?" And they just was awful, bitter, and jealous, and hateful of him. One day, his father sent him. His brothers were out tending their sheep, and they'd been gone for quite a while, and looking for pastures. And his father sent him, said, "Go and see about your brothers. See how they're doing." So he did. He went. And he had a little trouble finding them, but he finally found them. You know who I'm talking about, don't you? And he finally got to the place where he found where they were. And as he was approaching, his brothers looked off and saw him. "It's that dreamer coming. Come on, let's kill him and let's get rid of him." "No," one of them said, "no, you can't do that." Well, and when he got up to him, they just grabbed him and put him in a pit and took the food and the things that he brought and sat down and started eating. And while they were sitting there, they looked and they saw a bunch of caravan of merchants, and they were on their way to Egypt with material and stuff to sell. And they said, "Hey, let's give Joseph, sell him to them, and let them take him to Egypt, and that'll take it off of us." And so they did. They arrested stopped those men and told them what they had, and the man gave them 20 pieces of silver for Joseph and took Joseph away and on his way to Egypt. 17 years old. That's how old he was. He got down into Egypt and he was auctioned off to a man that has part of Pharaoh, king of Egypt's court. Can't think of his name. It's Potiphar. And Potiphar bought him. But it says the Lord was with Joseph. You just read of that. Joseph is one of the greatest stories in the Old Testament. Anyway, he went in and started working for Potiphar. And the Lord blessed Joseph. And he just blessed everything he did. And Potiphar was so thrilled to have him. He was such a good worker. And he was smart and intelligent and cooperative and obedient. And it was just wonderful how the Lord blessed Joseph. But then something else came up. Potiphar had a wife. She was lustful and wicked. And she looked on Joseph. He was a handsome young man. And she wanted him to have an affair with her. And he stopped. He resisted her. He denied her. He would not obey and do what she wanted him to do. And then one day, while everybody else was outside, she grabbed a hold of his coat and said, "Come on." "No." And he just pulled out of his coat and ran out of the house. And she got Potiphar and she said, "That slave you got, he's trying to get me. Here, I got his coat. He ran out and I got his coat." Well, Potiphar believed his wife, his wicked wife, and had Joseph put in prison. Joseph was put in prison, and in prison, the Lord blessed him.
Amen.
He rose to the top.
Yes.
The prison official turned everything over to Joseph. Joseph was blessed of the Lord.
Yes.
Well, one day Joseph came and there was a couple of prisoners looking sad and gloomy. And they asked him, "What's the matter? We dreamed a dream, both of us, and we don't know what it means." And, well, he says, things like that, God can help you to know what it is. Tell me what your dream was. And so one of them told how he was went to Pharaoh and offered him food, and Pharaoh took it and all. And Joseph says, "Well, Pharaoh's going to put you back in your place." He was one of Pharaoh's servants. And the other man says, "Well, I dreamed a dream." Well, he says, "What was your dream?" Well, he said, "I dreamed a dream that I was going along, and I had some baskets of food, and the birds came up and ate my food out of my basket." "What does that mean?" Well, he says, "Friend, in 3 days, Pharaoh is going to take you and hang you." And that's what happened. And he told the butler, the other man that had the good dream, he told him and said, "Would you make a plea to Pharaoh for me? Because," he said, "I haven't done anything wrong. And I've been put in prison. I haven't done anything wrong. Would you make a plea for me?" "Yeah, I'll do." But what did he do? He forgot him. He forgot Joseph. Went back and into Pharaoh's court. And the years went by. Joseph was 17. And now here at the age of 30, he was still in the prison. And the king had a couple of dreams. And he woke up and he was wondering about these dreams. He said there were seven cattle that come up out of the... And they were nice fat cattle. And then there was seven lean skinny cattle came up and they ate up the fat cattle. Anyhow, there was another dream. I can't just remember what it was about. But anyway, there were two dreams that the man wanted to know. And then Joseph, he told his Pharaoh's servant heard about it. And he remembered Joseph. "Oh, hey, there's a young man in prison that I and the butler, or the baker, we had dreams and he told what the dreams were, and it came to pass. Well, get that man." And so they brought Joseph up to Pharaoh, and he told him his dreams, and Joseph told him what it was going to be. He says there's going to come seven fat, plentiful, luscious years in Egypt. And he says, after that, there's going to be seven bad years. And they'll be so bad, they'll just eat up the good years. Now he says what you need to do is get a man and give him responsibility to gather up the food in the good years and store up the food in big houses and barns and things. And Pharaoh looked at Joseph and says, you're the man. And he put Joseph just almost right below him in ruling everything. And he was 30 years old. 17 to 30. How many is that? 13 years that Joseph suffered and went through after his brothers sold him in Egypt and hated him and what all he went through, lied on by Potiphar's wife and in the prison. Don't you know it was hard? Day after day, he worked and did his work. Nothing. Year after year went by. Nothing. Don't you know he was tempted to be despaired and wonder what's going on? And then and finally the day came when he was brought up out of the prison and given that great responsibility. He was given a lovely wife, and he was given probably a lovely home to live in, but he had to go through all that other stuff. Wait on the Lord and be of good cheer, be of good courage. Wait, I say, on the Lord. When things don't work out like we think they are, we've got to hold fast our faith and patience and confidence. Now, I'd like to mention in the book, I can't remember what is the name of a book. It's got a lot of articles in it. And one of the articles is Waiting on the Lord. You ever read that? What's the name of that book? Heart Talks. How many of you have ever read that? You ought to read in that book. That's a good book. Anyway, one of the chapters, and that was by C.W. Naylor. He's the one that wrote it. And he has an account in his life, too, that he was laid up and deprived and spent through several years of hard places. Anyway, he told him this as an article about waiting on the Lord. That was the article, waiting on the Lord. And he told in there, he told about an account that he had heard about, and it was a great lesson to him. And so this was the account, that there was a man that had several men that worked for him. And he was needing to find one of those men that would be taking a place that he needed someone to fill, a very important place. Well, he set them all up. I can't remember just how many there were. There were three or four of them. And they were going to run a race to see which one would win. And anyway, they come down, they narrowed it down to about three men. And so just before the race, they were going to have this last race and decide on which one of these men would be the one that he wanted him to fill this important place. Well, just before the man left to run the race, one of the men that was kind of overseeing it stepped up to each one and said, whenever the decree or signal comes for you to run, don't run, because your master has something special to give to you. So don't run. Well, they finally got them all set up and gave the signal, and one of the men, he just took off and went to running. And another one, he ran for a little bit and stopped and thought, oh, I suppose. Then he saw the other man run, so he ran on. But then there's one man, he just stood there and waited. He wouldn't do anything. So the men come running back after they ran the race. And the master asked the first one, says, how come you ran? I told you not to run. How come you ran? Oh, he said, I forgot. And then he asked the other one, how come you ran? Well, he said, I was going to, and then I looked and I just thought about it, I better not, but then I saw the other man and I went ahead and ran. And so he asked the third man, he said, how come you didn't run? Well, he says, you told me not to. I was waiting on you. You said you'd wait for me to wait. And the man said this. He said, you are chosen. You're the one I'm choosing. He says, I knew you could run, but I didn't know if you could wait. Now that's the way it is. The many people that will run and be active and do this and that, but who is it that will wait for the Lord to guide them, inspire them, direct them, show them what to do? Who is it? That's the one he's wanting. It isn't the runner. It isn't the big talker. It isn't the big fella that thinks he's somebody important. No, it's the man that will obey and wait. Wait on the Lord. I remember several years ago when we lived at Guthrie, there was a couple in the congregation. They lived in Oklahoma City, and I was very close to them, and we had many good times together. And one day, we was kind of praying about making a change. We had been pastor there at Guthrie for several years, and we thought we maybe needed to make a change in living and get a little better home. We was praying about it. And this man, he told me, he said, I've got my house here. It was down in Oklahoma City. Didn't like that so much. But he was offering that house to me. He said, all you have to do is pay the taxes. The real estate taxes. It wasn't very much. And he offered that to me. I said, well, I'm going to have to pray about it first and wait on the Lord. I didn't give over to him to take his offer. But I told him, I said, I'm going to wait on the Lord and pray about it. So I told my wife, and we began to pray. He had a lovely home, had a real nice place, better than what we was living in. Well, time went on. I kept praying, kept waiting. Nothing. Couldn't get a hold of anything. A year went by, and we were still praying about it. And I told the man, I said, we're praying about it. Well, one day, the Lord. Now listen, dear ones. Every person that makes a success to living for God must learn His voice. You must be acquainted with His voice. Know His voice when He speaks and obey Him. After over a year, maybe 2 or 3 months over a year. One day the Lord, as I was praying about this, the Lord spoke to me and says, no, don't accept his offer. I mean, it was plain, So I told my wife, I said, well, the Lord showed me not. It wasn't a matter but of a few days when something happened. On a Wednesday night, I believe it was a Wednesday night, in service, they would come up to Guthrie for service. And I could still see in my mind them going out the west door of the Guthrie Chapel. They went out that door after service to go home to Oklahoma City. They got on the road going south from Guthrie, and a big storm, big thunderstorm, heavy rain, come down on them. And they pulled in under an overpass of another road. They pulled in there and stopped to wait till the rain. The rain was so hard they couldn't hardly see. And while they were sitting there, a drunk man came from the north, and he came at a top speed and ran right into their car, killed both of them. Yeah. And then I realized why the Lord said, because their property fell into their daughter's hands, and it wasn't God's will for us to have that. But I had to wait. Now, what if I'd have said, well, she wants us to have it, let's go ahead and get it. I knew better than to do that. Because the Lord had spoken to me and I knew his voice. And the Lord said, don't do it. Amen. You know, it means a lot to be obedient to the will of God, the voice of the Holy Spirit. If you want the Holy Spirit to lead you, you better discipline yourself to be obedient. Now I'm going to tell you something that you may have heard me tell about before. I was saved in 1956. I gave my heart to the Lord. Later I was sanctified and filled with the Spirit of God. And the Lord called me to the ministry. There was a young woman that had come from California to work at the Faith Publishing House. I never had met her before. Her name was Sylvia Forbes. But Sister Marie Miles, one of the leaders there at the Faith Publishing House, had talked to her and invited her to come and live there and work in the print shop. This was 1956, and she came back. That summer, she came to the Monarch Camp Meeting, 1956. And then she came to Guthrie, and she moved in to the upper bedroom in the print shop house. And I got acquainted with her. She was a godly, beautiful, sweet, precious sister. And time went on, time went by. We got more and more acquainted with each other. A year went by, and I began to realize something about her. It's precious. And my affections began to go out toward her. She was five and a half years older than me. But she was a godly, praying, sweet, lovely person. One day, I had a job of driving a school bus. I drove a school bus out west of Guthrie, about 40-mile route. And one day, In March of 1958, I had done my bus route, and I was had unloaded and delivered all my children. And I was on my way back to Guthrie on Highway 33, west of Guthrie. And I was riding, driving along, and I was praying earnestly as I drove. I did that a lot. I was praying and seeking the Lord as I drove on the highway west of Guthrie toward taking the bus back to the bus barn. I can take you to the place. And every now and then I go by that place and I think about that day. As I was driving that big bus along, the Lord spoke to me. I was praying about Sylvia. The Lord spoke to my heart. It's so important for you to know God's voice. The Lord spoke to me, and here's what He said. Sylvia is the one I want you to have as a wife. But you must not tell her anything about it until I tell you. Oh, there was no question. There was no doubt. I knew what God had spoken. I knew what He said. I was so happy. I was so glad that He was going to let me have her. Yeah, of course. And I rolled on down the road. I rolled on down the road and took my bus back. And that was on a Wednesday night. I went to service that night, and I was so happy and keyed up, and so thankful the Lord had made me know. And I didn't tell anybody about it, of course, but I just made a mention. I said, "The Lord helped me today to know what He wanted me to do about something." Well, my wife Sylvia tells me, she was sitting there when I said that. And she, the Lord was already working with her. And when she heard me say that, she said the Lord made her know what I was talking about. That was in March of 1958. And my thoughts were, here's what my thoughts were. It won't be very long, and He'll tell me to tell her, and we can get things started. No, 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 no. Week went by. 2 weeks. Month. 2 months. 3 months. 4 months. 5 months. Nothing. I just had to be like a stranger almost. It wasn't easy. A year went by. Nothing. I tell you, dear ones, if you want God to work in your life, you got to be obedient and wait on Him. Another 10 months went by after a year. Nothing. It was January 1960. And I went to the print shop, Faith Publishing House, one day. I'd like to go in and kind of talk to him, you know. That's where she worked. And I went in, and she was out in the shop. She ran the linotype machine. That was her work. She ran a linotype machine that made the little lines that they printed with. She was out in the shop working, and others were there, and I was kind of visiting around with everybody. And the afternoon wore on, and they began to leave. Finally, everybody left out, and I was alone in the room there, or the office of the Faith Publishing House. I wasn't thinking anything about it. I was just kind of... I knew she was out there, but all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to me. It's time to tell her. Oh! Oh! I didn't make that kind of noise. I was froze. I just froze. And the Lord spoke again. It's time to tell her. Did you know that took all the courage and all the nerve and all the strength I could muster to do that I had been wanting to do for a long time? And I went out and stood there, and when she turned off her machine, I told her. I said, Sylvia, I want you to know that I love you, and God has promised to give us to each other for our life together. I said, don't tell anybody, but just keep it before the Lord. And I went on out. And it was 2 or 3 weeks later before the Lord finally made me know one day, it's time to get things started. And so we got married that summer. But I learned something in that waiting. That was not easy to do. That was one of the hardest things I ever did, was to have such love and affection and desire and not say anything about it. Now, I don't know if he'll deal with you young people like that, but he might. But that's what I want to encourage you to do. I want to encourage you to commit your life to Him and let Him lead you and obey His voice. Somewhere there's a scripture that, and I believe it's in Jeremiah, that the Lord said, whenever I called Israel out, I didn't command them about the sacrifices and offering, but He said, one thing I did tell them, obey My voice. And that's what we must do. We must learn to be obedient to the voice of God. Amen.